hanging out with Donald Jenkins on Nashville Hits Collecting Dust.
All right, guys. Hey, let's get started. Wanted to make sure all the mics are working, and we are good. I have Kaylee Rutland. Hey, girl, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful. We started recording about 5 minutes ago. So.
Perfect. You got all the stuff about the dill pickles in there.
Maybe, maybe not. But I always like to hit record before anybody knows we're actually recording. So just so you can be nervous rest about whatever I said.
It's caused issues.
Maybe.
Well.
But hey, surprise dropping guest over there sitting by super sick Kevin McCarty is Tom Beaupre. Hey, buddy.
Well, hey there.
You may have, if you don't remember, Tom has an episode with us. It's in the early days of Nashville Hits Collecting Desk.
Yeah, it's probably like the highest rated podcast from you.
Yeah, I was going to tell you that.
Okay. I've listened to it a lot and written a lot of reviews, so the popularity on iTunes.
I was wondering why I had the most listens as any, and I was just curious. So you've listened to it.
I just stream it while I sleep. So it's on repeat.
Well, that's awesome. Hey, thanks for dropping in. Yeah. If you haven't heard to Tom Beaupre's episode, you need to check it out. I don't remember what number it is, but
episode 11. Okay. Number 11.
Oh, lucky number.
Is it really?
That's fun. Yeah, I swear.
Nice. Well, it's always nice to get drop-ins like this because obviously you guys have just gone back on tour. Tom's with Florida Georgia Line playing the bass for those guys, which is really a boring concert. Like if you've never been, I'll be honest, y'all need to step up your energy a little bit.
We're getting older. Energy levels coming down, you know.
Are you kidding me? Your social media game has been on point lately.
Thanks, man. Got a shout out to GoPro for that.
Oh, okay. I mean, some of the stuff you're doing on stage with fire and
that's a Canadian. His name's Al.
Oh, nice.
In charge of the fire. Moving on.
Well, hey, well, thanks for coming in. Kaylee's looking at us like, oh gosh. Like, I'm surrounded by dudes that... I'm sorry about this. Sorry. Caitlin's on the couch looking at us too, but she doesn't have a mic. But are you ready now?
Ready to party.
You're like, I don't even know what's going on.
We're good.
Well, let's talk about you now. You ready?
Sure.
Caitlin Rutland. Kaylee. Well, if you got a Caitlin and a Kaylee, this happened with Cameron.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting episode with we should count how many times he either interchanges your names or just straight up messes it up.
Good. Hey, this is not as easy as it looks. I mean, if somebody... Anyway. Kaylee, hi, sorry. Belmont student, about to graduate in December, right?
Yeah.
Excited about that?
Oh my gosh, so excited. I always told myself I was going to be the like 4-year graduate, like getting it all done right away. Yeah, that didn't happen.
Yeah, well, you're a Texas girl.
I am indeed.
Now, I've always heard with a lot of Texas artists and musicians that there's somewhat of a, I don't know if it's an unwritten competition, Kevin, or if it's just, you know, you have like Nashville country and then there's Texas country.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, it's totally a thing. I don't know if it's competition. I think it's Music City type of competition.
Yeah.
Like what is the main one versus what's...
Did you sense any of that?
The little brother.
Kaylee, have you ever heard of like, no, you're Texas country or are you like mainstream? That ever think?
I've always been aware of the difference of, you know, Texas country and mainstream, but growing up, I think I listened to a lot more mainstream and then a lot of Texas artists that later became more mainstream, like kind of like Eli Young Band and Josh Abbott.
Yeah.
That started off really only like with a Texas following and then have just like exploded more.
Well, and you were saying a lot of your influences, what Carrie Underwood and Reba.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Who those else? Are Sarah Evans, Kelsey Ballerini.
Yeah.
Those are some of my favorites.
They're pretty good.
they don't suck. You know?
Right. They've been calling me a lot to be on the show, but honestly, I'm just booked, Kevin.
We got Kaylee here, guys.
Listen.
Take your seat.
I was
take
like,
your number.
We're going to have to get a number. All right. So if they're listening right now, I apologize. You know, but you can still call. I made sure to pitch up. you came up to Nashville. Tell us when you start pursuing music. Like, when did you know? You're like, music is it for me.
I was 8. I was on this like church kids musical.
Yeah.
Called The Worship Warriors. And we had like a little Christmas pageant that we were putting on. And the lady in charge of it was so sweet. And she was very liberal with the solos. If you raised your hand and you were well behaved, she would give you a solo. And I was not one to raise my hand. And in some random moment, I was like, oh, yeah, I want one. And she gave it to me. God knows what she was thinking. And then when I stepped on stage and started singing for the first time in front of people ever, I completely loved it. And when I got off stage, I was like, oh my gosh, I want to do that forever.
And knocked it out.
like people were, wow.
I mean, my parents say that they were. Other than that, I don't know.
No, it's not like parents are really biased or anything. Listen,
never.
There's a common thread. Kevin and I were talking about this earlier that, you know, a lot of musicians start their, you know, musical career in church, which I think it's awesome. It's great. I can tell you, I have the same experience, right? And this is a true story, Kevin. Tom, I don't even know if you know this, but I'm not kidding. My papa was a minister of music in a Southern Baptist church in Georgia. And so in his mind, you know, the whole family was musically inclined or talented. So here I was, I don't know, six-ish maybe. And I get up to do a solo. And when I tell you it was horrible, like even I knew as a kid, it was horrible. I'm not kidding. I ran off the stage crying.
No.
That's a true story. I've been scarred ever since.
That's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
No, I just want to tell you that like not everybody that grows up in church singing ends up in Nashville as an artist. Sometimes it goes the other way. All right. So I just,
what is his papa? No,
well, I call him papa.
Papa?
Yeah. My papa, my mom's dad.
Oh,
most people might say grandfather, granddad, you know, grandparent, whatever. I call him papa.
Pom pom?
Papa.
What did you say?
No. But see, my papa was the ultimate optimist. Like he, his quote was that God made the crows and the canaries, and he loves to hear both of them. So it was like permission to go, I don't care if you can sing or not, let me hear your voice. So
I love that. That's so awesome.
But even still, I just, now that I completely embarrassed my six-year-old self, so I've gotten over it since then. So
you're able to talk about it now without tears.
Well,
so
years of therapy, but we're good. So 8 years old is when you fell in love with music. Tell us a little bit about that journey from there until, you know, actually getting to Nashville. Because honestly, I grew up in South Alabama, but I had never heard of Belmont. I mean, Belmont's a phenomenal school. But, you know, how did you know that you wanted to go from Texas to Nashville?
Yeah, I mean, from that point at 8 years old on, I, you know, didn't really know how to follow singing. So I would take voice lessons that my mom signed me up for. And I joined choir in middle school and high school. And for a little while, that was kind of the extent of it. And then as I got older, I started learning to play guitar, and I just like really focused in on the fact that country music was going to be it for me growing up in Texas. I always listened to that, and I started trying to play out more at festivals and perform by myself whenever I could. And then one day in my high school choir, my teacher came up to me. He found out that I was going to be going to Nashville to record my first EP the first week of my senior year. I missed like a week and a half of classes, almost got kicked out of English for it, but
worth it.
Totally. It was in the end. And I'll have you know that the English teacher that almost kicked me out helped me then write the essay that got me into Belmont.
Oh, nice.
But that choir teacher came up to me and was like, oh, like while you're there, you should check out the school Belmont that I'd never heard of. So I toured it while I was here, talked to some music business professors and fell in love with that too.
Yeah. And here we are, like now you're about to graduate. Like I promise, don't blink because 5 years will go by. Probably 10. There's no way I'm the age I am already. I was just in college, Kevin, I swear.
So are you itching to get out of school or no?
Yes and no.
Stay in school.
Everybody here is like, get a triple major.
Keep going.
I was always a nostalgic one in high school. Like I was the only person in my whole group of friends that wasn't like ecstatic to graduate. But now that I am the last person in my group of friends to graduate, I'm kind of like, all right, like, let's move it on. Like,
well, you know, it's because you are the old one now. It's that cycle. You're the, you know, freshman, you're the young one. Senior, you're old. That's high school. Same thing in college. Freshman, you're the baby. By the senior, you're like, I'm old. Now you're about to graduate. Guess what? You're the baby again. Like, and this will be the last time I enjoy it that you're going to be the baby. There's not another way where you start over and you're the baby again. So enjoy being it. But you got obviously like a lot of momentum and some great music. So tell me, are you passionate about like your writing style? Tell me about writing music and how and what you write about for the most part.
Yeah, for sure. And thank you. The first song I ever wrote, I was 9 years old.
Do you remember it?
Yeah, a little more than I wish that I could.
You shouldn't admit that because I'm going to have you sing a cappella at least one verse.
Oh, I don't know how much I remember the melody, but I remember the lyrics, and it was all about how the stress of fourth grade and being 9 years old was getting to me. And life is just so much at 9 years old. Just
Well, that's proof, guys, that in whatever phase of life you're in, your problem is really big to you. It's actually meant to be funny, but it's kind of true. I've always said, like, perspective is cool. And when you see some people that have it worse than you, it still to you doesn't mean your problems aren't as just as big. So anyway, all right. Well, if you do happen to remember the melody, we'd love to hear like that first song that you ever wrote.
If I can find a recording of it, I'll send it to you.
Perfect.
What's the name of it? I'm on it.
Yeah, it's online. It was called Free Time. Just wanted to be free. 9 year old freedom.
That's awesome.
Nothing's coming up. So I think we're going to skip this for now.
Bummer. Oh, man.
Well, hey, you obviously realized that you had songwriting abilities after that song. So what about the, there's got to be a song. I feel like every songwriter and artist has a song about their first heartbreak. Please, do you have any songs about that?
There's a couple. And I don't know if you could define it as heartbreak, but there's definitely one song came to mind when you said that, that I wrote called Always Summer. I co-wrote it with Jamie O'Neill and Minnie Murphy. And it was about this guy that I had dated the summer after my freshman year at Belmont. And we're still really good friends, but...
So he knows who it is.
I don't think he's heard the song.
Oh.
I know, it's not out online right now. We just have like a physical copy of the CD.
Okay.
But yeah, it was just kind of all about that experience and how, you know, like I came back to Nashville in the fall and long distance didn't really work out. But yeah, so that was Always Summer. And just, I kind of love doing that same thing with all the writing, just like drawing on personal experiences or my friends' personal experiences. And then later playing them the song and being like, oh, by the way, this is about you.
Right. And if it's one of those personal stories that you don't want everybody to know that's personal, it's still like in quotation about my friends, right? That's right, the beauty of it. Like I wrote this about a friend or my cousin or something like that. Right.
This totally isn't personal experience.
No, until the guy hears it and goes, that sounds strangely similar. No, we have a lot of, songwriters. I always try to pick the brains of songwriters because creatives obviously are awesome anyway. You never know what's really going on up in your brain, but at the same time, it's very vulnerable. I love to public speak and just write in general when it comes to talking, but songwriting is different. You would think they would actually go hand in hand, but they don't. And I remember the first time I have a lot of songwriter friends and a buddy of mine, Weston Davis. I was like, hey man, can I just like tell a story and then you write a song, you know, cause I don't want to try to write a song. But I do remember when I had this idea, I was like, God, this is really vulnerable. You know, like, do I sound dumb or stupid? You know? So I always like to ask those questions. Well, hey, what's going on in your life right now? I know you're about to graduate. And what are you looking forward to the most?
Outside of graduation. I mean,
yes.
No. I mean, I'm finishing up school-wise, you know, the semester right now, and building off of the release of my latest music video, but always writing and always recording. So music-wise, I'm hoping to get some fresh stuff out later on in 2017, and I'm hoping to be able to do a radio tour this summer.
Very cool. Hey, since we have Tom in here, I'm going to throw you on the spot or anything like that. You've been on like some, you know, some tours in your life, you know, a few small ones.
One or two.
Kaylee here, listening to her and her story. I mean, you've been here a long time and you've obviously are on big tours. Give us some like words of wisdom here. Like,
you're put on the spot.
I have a beard to stroke with all my wisdom now. I don't know. Like, I mean, I think I need to hear more of a story. Obviously.
Well, let's talk about that first. Let's talk. Because I want to talk about your song right now.
Yeah.
Pick Me Up, right?
Yeah, Pick Me Up.
In the video, I've watched it. It's awesome.
Thanks.
Let's talk about that song. Because that's what we're going to listen to. You're going to play it for us?
Yeah,
you're
going to
sing
sure.
it for us live? Mm-hmm. Awesome. Tell us about Pick Me Up.
Yeah. That's another one that I co-wrote with Jamie and Minnie. And I'd actually gotten off of class on a Friday and like went over to their house. And we were talking about what we wanted to write. And the only thing that any of us could keep saying was like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad it's Friday. I'm so glad that we're done with the week. And after a while, we were complaining about what a long week it had been. We were like, we should just write a song about this, like how we're all so happy that it's the weekend. And so that was kind of the idea and the inspiration behind the song. And then it just kind of grew. And then we ended up doing a music video, and it's being played on Radio Disney Country right now. And
yeah, I saw that.
Exciting stuff.
That's very cool. Awesome. Was that like your first music video?
Not my first, but the first that was like played on a major, I mean, like with Radio Disney Country. So that was pretty exciting. But I've done a couple before with original songs.
Yeah, I mean, you were voted, what, top 10 by Nash Next? What was that accolade I saw?
Yeah, okay. So that was a contest that I did in 2015.
Right.
That started off with a couple hundred or thousand, a lot of people, I don't know how many. We kind of like built artist profiles until we were narrowed down into a top 100. And from that point, we had challenges, and after each one you would create a video or some kind of picture or content to share, and it would be looked at by fans and judges, and then we would be narrowed down each and every round after that. And so I, by some miracle, ended up getting into the top 10 and got to go on a little short tour with the other 9 incredible artists at the end of 2015, early 2016.
That's awesome.
It was a blast.
Were you ready for my 3 questions that I ask every guest?
All right, let's go.
Listen, I gave you a lot of time to prepare for this morning.
I always love when you're starting to do this and you can see everybody in their chair just start to fidget a little bit. Like, oh boy, here we go.
Well, it's nothing to really be scared of.
Can I ask a question before you move on?
Absolutely.
Have you done a radio tour yet?
Not before, no.
Man, get used to this.
Yeah.
Because it's all like an awkward conference room where there's always someone on their phone. There's always someone like not paying attention at all. And there's always someone asking a lot of questions, but it is fun. But it made me think of when you were just talking about that, it's like, this is kind of like where it's all starts, and it all starts with relationships, as I'm sure you've seen in Nashville, being in Belmont. You know, it's fun. It can be really exhausting at points, but I would encourage you to like just embrace this intimate setting, because I feel like for the first like year, that's like all we did on our off time was like drive to a radio station, do an interview, play a song, drive to another. And it's like, you know, you're driving 2-3 hours in between these things to play like 1 song, 2 songs. We've done a couple where it was like you show up, you play 2 songs, the guy goes, cool, thanks. And then you like just leave it, and you're like,
oh my God,
is that good or bad? Or I mean, what happens now? But all that to say is like, it sounds like you're definitely on the right path, and just like embrace the personal side of this, because the bigger you get, I feel like the less personal it is sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of fun to like make these connections now, because you see those people 5-10 years from now and you're like, oh my gosh, I haven't gotten to sit down and talk to you in so long. So it's cool. And like, enjoy the journey, like kind of like college, you know, just really embrace this and make the most of it. So.
That's awesome. That's so good to know. Thank you.
Yeah.
That is very cool. I can't get past the first comment you made, like get used to this awkward situation. Are you saying that like that I'm being really awkward right now? Or I think this is a very relaxed atmosphere.
I felt like it was me, really.
Kaylin's over here about to fall asleep on the couch. She is obviously not feeling any awkwardness whatsoever.
Kaylin can't catch a break.
She didn't have a mic. That's why I can say what I want.
No, I feel like you always hear like, oh, radio tour, that sounds cool. And it's like, it's not a Carson Daly, like go sit on top 40 and like talk to famous people. It's like a lot of conference rooms and a lot of, we're going to set up this video camera, but our tech guy has to come and he's like 15 minutes down the road. He'll fix it. And then it's like an hour later, you're like, so one song, you all this for one song, huh?
Yeah.
Cool.
Like, so. Can I have your phone number? Can we go out after this?
But
it's like that awkward date that you're like, I just don't think that, I don't know if they like me.
Yeah. You know?
Or do they?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Okay, ask your questions now.
Oh, sorry. Tom, can I ask my questions now?
Yes.
Thank you. Oh, gosh. Well, it's cool to ask these questions because you get to compare the answers of all the guests. But the first one is, do you like coffee, by the way? That's not the question, but I'm just wondering.
Like way too much.
Okay,
it's a deep one.
Well, I always say, you know, if you could have coffee with yourself when you first started pursuing music, which sounds like it was around 8. So I don't know if you know, would have coffee then, but let's just say you right now would drink coffee. Your younger self would have juice. All right. And if you could sit down and go, hey, knowing what I know now, you need to know this. What would you tell yourself?
I think a lot of it would come from just like stuff to do more. Cause I mean, at 8 years old, I knew that this is what I wanted to do, but I mean, I was a kid, so I didn't really know how much would be invested in it.
Yeah.
And as I've gotten older and I've learned that, I love it. And so I wish that, like, you know, at 8 years old, I had written more songs and just, you know, they would have been just like free time. But
yeah,
I would have gotten, I think, better at writing songs earlier and just had more special experiences kind of created into these moments.
Right.
And I think that's what I would have told myself, is just like write more and try to perform more, because when you were growing up,
you were mainly singing what, cover songs?
Yeah, when I was a kid, yeah. Absolutely would.
Which is not wrong.
Pop tracks and go sing them around wherever I could.
Right, which is not wrong. And so hopefully there's a lot of young listeners out there that have a passion for music, right? And I think that's good for them to hear, is let's give them permission to go, hey, start now writing. It's,
absolutely.
I've never heard one songwriter, even songwriters that have like number one hits on the radio, go, you know, the first time I wrote song, it was perfect and great.
It was a number one hit.
Right. And the thing is like, if let's just say you have to write 10,000 songs to get that good one, let's write those 9,999 bad ones, you know, when we're young, right? Get them out of the way. But either way, that's a great piece of advice. It's like, hey, start now, be you, create you, write your song, regardless of what age you're at right now, right?
Absolutely.
Man, that's awesome. Even if you're 9 years old, guys. So, second question, what about the best piece of advice someone has ever given to you? It could be about music or really just life in general.
Yeah. I mean, other than what Tom said a minute ago. Just thinking, well, I was like, can I just use that as my answer?
That's a first. We just give it. I like that, Tom. Appreciate it, buddy.
I did have another one ready too. And then he was saying that and it was awesome.
Well, we're going to say that Tom is just, you can't use that one. I just made that rule. So
I think your advice is good enough.
No, it's awesome, but I have a copyright on it, so you can't use it.
Fair enough.
I don't know if that's right or not, but go ahead.
No, the second or third time that I came to Nashville before I actually moved here and started going to college, I met Colt Ford, and he is in one of the songs that we like co-wrote and recorded. And I had like, we had a very brief amount of time together because he's a busy guy. And he came in and like wrote what he was going to like play so fast. And it was so incredible. And so we had just a couple minutes to chat after the recording was done. And, you know, I'm staring at this like guy in front of me who's like a big guy, and he's rapping, and he's just seems like very intimidating. And he gives me this big bear hug and is like, sweetheart, like, let me tell you, like, don't you ever change for anyone, in a much less cliche way than I just phrased it. But he's talking about the industry, and I was barely 17 years old. And he is, you know, saying how everybody is going to want something from you. Everybody is going to want you to be something that fits their mold of what they want you to be. And he's like, if that doesn't match up exactly with who you want to be as a person and as an artist, it's not worth your time.
That's good. That's good. And definitely one of those times, it's like the stake in the ground. You can't forget that.
Absolutely.
You know, the situation and the advice. That's awesome. We have a lot of guests, and we talk about this, Kevin, a lot. How many people say their different version of just be you?
I'd say it's 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10
that's,
people.
That's, there's some form of that as the answer.
Yeah.
Which is really awesome, which should say something.
I think it says two things. It's important actually to be you. The second thing, I think it shows that it's really hard. And it doesn't sound like it, right? It doesn't sound like to say, hey, Tom, you should just be you, right? But especially when you're, you know, doing something for an audience, we have a tendency to naturally want to be everything that everybody wants us to be, and we can't, right? But we don't, it's almost like we have to learn that the hard way, right? And then somebody goes, stop, just be you. And then you realize, gosh, I think I've tried to be a combination of 5 different people, right? So that's great advice.
I think until you make it, everybody compares you to somebody, you know? It's always like, well, if you were more like them or more like this, so you constantly are trying to be more like someone else who's already, quote unquote, made it. And then finally you get, you know, when you're extra or you get so close that someone's like, well, you're kind of too much like them. So you like chase all this time being like them. And then finally they're like, well, you got too close to being them. So it's like, that's the uniqueness factor, where it's like, if you stay true to you, maybe these 5 years aren't your time. And maybe the industry is like, oh, that's not quite what we want. But 5 years from now, you stay true to yourself, and all of a sudden you're exactly what they want, you know.
Ooh,
and no one saw that coming, you know, and it's just timing and being true.
That's a great perspective. I've never really heard it that way. Yeah. Because it can almost be a negative if you sound too much like somebody who's already made it.
Yeah.
And that's crazy, because it's like, but they're so good and they've been so successful. Whereas if you're trying to be, I don't know, the the athlete, the professional athlete, the Michael Jordan, they would never say, well, you're a little too much like Michael Jordan. Right? They're like, that's a good thing. But in music, it's so different. Or I would say probably entertainment.
Yeah.
It's a great perspective. Here's my favorite one. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. You have to actually say it like this. Okay. Donald. Silent pause. If you really knew me, you would know.
And you want me to put that silent pause in?
Yeah. I think it has an effect.
Like the dramatic.
Well, I mean, you know, it's just
at least 2 seconds.
I'm going to make it really long and awkward for all of you.
Well, apparently I've already provided an awkward atmosphere.
Please try to make it. Right?
You know.
I would love to see you try to make this awkward.
I don't think I can.
Because if we want to play this game, we can win the awkwardness contest. Whenever you're ready.
All right, Donald.
She had great eye contact during that pause, too. It was great, Kevin. You can't say. That's awesome. Thank
you. If you really knew me.
Yes.
You would know about the only spontaneous thing I've ever done.
Well, are you going to tell us what that is? Or
yeah. Oh, there's a whole story.
Yes. Let's hear it. The only spontaneous thing you have ever done.
So.
You're obviously a planner. You like to...
I do. I like to know what things are going to be ahead of time. I like to be scheduled, especially as a musician. I kind of like to know as much as I can, you know, this is my set list, or like this is kind of what I'm going to have a list of ideas going into this writing session.
Yeah.
So I don't often just do something on the spot without thinking about it.
Awesome. Well, we can go ahead and confirm that you and I are the exact opposite. So that's good. And that's, I do envy that because I don't have that skill set at all. I wish I had more of it. What is the most spontaneous thing you've ever done then?
I was 14 and I was in Detroit for the first time ever. I was there with my youth group.
Okay.
And there was an African arts street festival happening downtown right next to the river.
Yeah.
14-year-old me was like, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard. I'm going to go. So I gathered up all my friends and we went to this street festival and we were all like fresh out of middle school, barely in high school, and everybody just scatters. And we're in downtown Detroit. Like, I think our youth pastor was somewhere, but like we kind of just like went off in all different directions, which already isn't a super great safe idea.
Rebel teenagers.
Right. Yeah. That's totally how people describe me.
So crazy.
But I was walking around the different booths and I saw this guy that was selling turtles, and I love turtles. They're my favorite animal. I can't even begin to tell y'all my obsession with turtles, but I thought that was like the coolest thing ever. They were like for $20. They came with like 3 months of food. I was like, this is the best purchase I've ever made. This is totally worth its money. So I bought a turtle, without my parents anywhere near. And since this was a church trip, they had taken my younger siblings over right across the river to Canada for the day. So I called my mom, who's technically in another country, and I'm like, hey, mom, what's going on? And she's like, what do you need?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, like I just bought something at this African art street festival. She's like, okay, why are you calling to tell me this? Like, she was a little skeptical. Like, she already knew something was up by the tone of my voice.
Yes, I know what it is, and I'm skeptical right now. But
right,
I have questions. Go ahead.
But I told her, I was like, oh my gosh, like I got a turtle. And I had a turtle before, to preface. And it had died. And they told me that the turtle was in hibernation and then woke up and snuck out the front door. And I believed them. At 14, I no longer did.
Well, turtles are quiet. So they're good at sneaking. But they're not very fast.
Yeah. So having recently remembered the turtle and discovered that that turtle had not hibernated, I thought that I deserved a new one.
Right.
And just bought my own. And my mom was like, okay, hon, how are you going to get that back to Texas? On the plane. I was like, oh, I didn't really think about that.
And did you put it in your suitcase?
Yeah, so I said, that was my first plan. I was like, okay, I can just put it in my suitcase. And she's like, it's a living animal.
Yeah, I don't need organizations calling me right now.
She's like, also, like, how much water is in that tank? And I was like, so much. And she was like, right, that's another reason you can't. And so I hung up the phone and I ran around to find my friend Raph. And I was like, I need you to do me a huge favor. So what's up? It's like, I bought this turtle. And I flew here, so I can't take it back with me. But you guys drove here. So if I give it to you, you and your mom, I bet your mom would love it if I gave you a live animal to take back on a 14-hour drive, a smelly turtle. She'll be thrilled.
Mm.
Yeah, long story short, it did not end up working out.
And so that was your last spontaneous.
That was my last. See, it ended really poorly. I had two moms that were furious with me. I had to return the turtle. So I had a turtle vendor who was furious with me.
Oh, I got a lot of questions.
There's a turtle vendor?
There's what? So much there.
Can you take it back?
Yeah, I got my $20 back. Wow. I know.
I just...
I have so many holes I want to poke in this story.
I mean, I do too. I don't want to. We could talk about this for another hour. But I'm going to move on. I don't know. We want to get to the song. Anyway, so Pick Me Up. It's the song you're going to sing right now. And it just, the turtles don't have personalities. Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, why a turtle is, like, your favorite pet. Like,
he tried to go away from it. He's like, I can't. I got to go back. I got to go back. I got to go back to the turtle.
Yeah. All right. I'm done. I promise. Oh, that's
why. Song Pick Me Up Turtles.
Well, that's why I love that If You Really Knew Me question. Let's be honest. Like, you can't make stuff like that up. So.
All true.
All right. Well.
And I've never had a turtle since also. So, scarred for life.
Well, I hope not. Okay, you've killed one and returned the other one, all right? So it's just not in the cards. That's all right. Well, hey, thanks for coming in. This has been a blast, but now my favorite part of the show is like we get to hear you sing. Unless I'm going to call an audible, unless Kevin Super Sick McCarty has anything he would like to ask and or our drop-in surprise guest, Tom Beaupre. Your mic, you get it for 3 minutes.
Oh, I get 3 minutes?
No, you both have 3 minutes total.
Oh, well, I'll defer to you first then, Tom, because mine's just going to be poking holes in stories.
Okay.
Well, if you're going there, where am I going? Are you sponsored by MAC Makeup?
Recently, yeah. It's like a light sponsorship, but...
Can they send stuff for my wife?
Oh.
I'm just looking to save some
first
money.
First of all,
no, just kidding.
I thought you were asking for some makeup, and that was going to be how
I was
going to
be excited. Yeah.
How did that come about? That's kind of fun.
I think that we tagged them in a photo from maybe the Pick Me Up music video where we were using MAC products, and it was like just like a fun little behind the scenes shot. And it ended up being like, hey, like, you know, they love for artists or people who anyone who is in the public eye and wears MAC too. Be like, hey, like, here's my face. It has MAC on it. And that's it. And then so they sent me like $500 worth of free makeup. So like, I love them.
Yeah.
All right.
That's awesome.
As many margaritas as I drink in my life, tequila somewhere should be calling at any time, like some type of tequila for a spot. Anyway, go ahead. Kevin is still yours. Sorry.
So you mentioned some of your, I'll get a little serious, but not very much. Oh. There's a reason I'm asking this. So if you could open for one of your favorites, who would it be?
I think I have to go with Reba.
Great. That
all
means
time
Reba.
Number one.
She's listening.
Oh, of course.
Of course. Right. We're going to make that happen, and then she's just going to have to come on this show.
Right.
Perfect.
For that. Right? So yes. Reba. Have you met her?
Never, no.
Reba's one of those people that guy, girl, young, old, middle age, you just want to hang out with. I feel like there is not like any generation that just does not love Reba.
Is her show still on?
I don't know. Actually, I thought I read the other day where she's got a new one coming out.
Well, she's had two. Neither of those are still on. But if she has a third one, I'm going to watch
the heck
out
coming.
Of it.
If Reba could call in at any point in time and let us know, that'd be great. So,
shout out your cell, man. Mm.
That and a couple of sponsors. So that's...
There you go.
Maybe I could wear makeup.
Get some free tequila.
Nice. All right. Well, let's hear your song. All right. So we're going to break set up and then we're going to hear Pick Me Up.
Awesome. Thanks.
Awesome.
I've been working all week long and I can't wait for Friday. Another cup of coffee ain't gonna do the trick this time. Been checking my phone and staring at the big clock, tick tock. Wanna leave this all behind. Let me tell you what I got in mind. Fishing in the dark, tearing up the town. And know a place to park where we can get down. Doesn't really matter what we do to shake off them blues, yeah. You know I pick the place and I pick the time. It's the perfect day to party all night. And baby, all I and every dark cloud. There's no doubt about it. We need the spark that lights that fire and sets us free. Yeah, we're on a natural high automatic. It's magic. Anywhere we wanna be, I don't care as long as you're with me. Fishing in the dark, tearing up the town, and know a place to park where we can get down. Doesn't really matter what we do to shake off them blues, yeah. You know I pick the place and I pick the time. It's the perfect day to party all night. I've been working all week long, and I can't wait for Friday. Fishing in the dark, tearing up the town, and know a place to park where we can get down. Doesn't really matter what we do to shake off them blues, yeah. You know I pick the place and I pick the time. It's the perfect day to party all night.
Hey, anybody, anybody feel like it's Friday and it's time for the weekend? I love it. Awesome job. Great song.
Thanks. Appreciate
it. It is a feel-good song.
That was kind of our hope with it.
Kevin and I were talking about earlier, because this is an afternoon record. We normally do the mornings. And so we're usually winding down. Of course, Tom's over there. He slept till probably one anyway as a musician. So he's like, I'm on fire right now. But no, that's a great song. I'm excited for you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
It's on iTunes.
It is on iTunes.
And you have a music video.
And there's music video on YouTube. It's everywhere.
Listen, audience, you should probably go pick the song up on iTunes and watch it on YouTube, right?
100% do that.
I mean, you know, not that anybody would shameless plug anything on here, but yes, go do it. And this is where I usually do some form of fashion off mic of blackmailing, but won't do it on. So that means you have to come back. So you agree to come back when the next song and you're, you know, already off a radio tour, and I'm going to get your autograph now. So, cause I know next time I'm going to have to go through your assistant's manager's assistant to get you here. Is that right?
Absolutely.
You will come back.
Absolutely.
Kevin?
Binding contract.
It is.
Recorded. Done.
Just took contract law last semester.
See?
So I'm basically a lawyer. That's what that means, right?
Of course.
So
binding
oral contract. Like, we're good.
All right.
That means you have to have me back. You can't kick me to the curb when I come begging at the door.
I don't like how she just spun the table there.
Called you out, bro.
I mean, this was not supposed to go that way, but yes, I will. Well, hey, listen, so much fun. You're absolutely talented, gorgeous, and I'm excited to watch your journey.
Thank you so much.
And to be a small part of it. So I have it on recording. I'm a small part of your journey.
This is the proof.
I'm not insecure at all, I promise. But go follow, guys. I feel like everybody, you have a huge following. You have a huge social media following. But tell them, everybody who doesn't follow you now, where they can follow you.
Yeah, check out my website. It's kayleeretland.com. All my social media is at kayleeretland. Same spelling, same name, same person.
Same person too?
It's shocking.
Dang. All right. No more Milli Vanillis. All right, guys. Hey, we'll do this again. Thanks for coming on.
This has been Hits Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.